What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Katie Halper Show. Unhappy Thanksgiving. Have a good Indigenous Peoples Day. On this episode, I speak to Dallas Goldtooth, who is a very talented comedian and activist. And depending on when you're listening, if you're listening on Thanksgiving Day, you can see Dallas and other comedians. And to do that, just go to bioneers.org. That's bioneers.org, and check out their conference that he's going to be participating in comedically. My guest co-host on today's show is Leslie Lee, host of the Struggle Session podcast. His Twitter is Leslie Lee III, as in Leslie Lee III. Please support The Katie Halper Show on Patreon at patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. You can support the show by just paying $1 a month. If you want to have access to Patreon-only content that's extended interviews or additional interviews, you can pay $5 a month. This episode starts right after a chat that Leslie and Lee and I had with Rania Kallik, where we read some hate tweets. And you can hear that interview if you're Patreon supporters at the $5 level. That's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. That's where you can hear the chat with Rania Kallik. We're also going to be providing you with a bit of an analysis that I do with Leslie Lee about a video that has some interesting things to say about me and others and how we are apparently Russian infiltrators. We've infiltrated the left and we are doing Putin's bidding. Please rate and review the podcast. If you're watching the video, please like and subscribe. And to subscribe, you hit the subscribe and then the bell as well. And you get notifications. I just want to encourage everyone who is ever urged to take something down. Honestly, it's like it's a numbers game. It's like a union. You don't take it down, it becomes harder to delegitimize and smear. So everyone should ignore that stuff. Seriously.
Yeah, ignore it. And honestly, if people are telling you not to watch or read something, go watch and read it and check it out and think about it yourself. Don't let Casey Michelle tell you what to think. Yeah. Anyway, on that note.
Unless you like Scooter Libby and Dr. Strangelove. Yeah. Thank you, Rania.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Rania.
Bye, Leslie. Bye, Katie. Bye. Have a great show.
Thank you. Great. Okay, guys, I'm so excited about our next guest. He's so funny. I already said this, but I'm going to say it again in case anyone's joining us. Also, make sure you take this moment to like and share and subscribe to the stream. This man is a real Renaissance man. He's a comedian. He is a water protector. He's an organizer. And he really, I think, kind of like bridges the gap between serious issues, but also humor, obviously, and fun and joy. He's one of the founders, one of the co-founders of the 1491s, which is an all Indigenous comedy troupe. And he is the Keep It in the Ground campaign organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network. So without any further ado, Dallas Goldtooth. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. This is my co-host, Leslie Lee.
Nice to see you, Leslie.
Nice to meet you, Dallas. How's it going?
That voice, it's like butter.
Oh, my God. Leslie's voice.
I love it.
I know. Yeah, I love it. So good. It's like you can barely figure out who's talking when, me or Leslie.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah. Just throws it off. I've been listening for a while, and I love the little tidbit of information that you left off the last. What's her name? The last
Rania Kallik.
Rania, when y'all said, like, if someone tells you not to watch it, you should watch it. That's my uncle gave me that exact same advice when I watched my first porno. So it is absolutely true. You know, your life will go in different directions when you watch something you're not supposed to watch.
Yeah. For better or for good. Unclear.
Yes, but in one direction. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Where are you joining us from? What are you?
I'm home? In my back porch. Okay. Is that what you wanted to know?
Yeah. It looks great. It's an outdoor studio?
It's an indoor. No, it's outdoors. Like, it's all screen right here. There's mosquitoes outside. No, it's an enclosed. I'm in Chicago.
Chicago.
Where I'm at.
All right.
Or sorry, I forgot. I'm so like in the woke.
You're right. Yeah.
I'm obviously in woke spaces. I'm on stolen land, occupied Anishinaabe territories of so-called Chicago.
Okay, got it.
That's where I'm at.
Since you mentioned your uncle and it's that holiday, that shall not be named. I want to share a photo of my late uncle, who's awesome, and I show a video of him a lot on the show. But let me just show you him and his shirt. That's the shirt he would wear on Thanksgiving.
Yes, I think everyone has an uncle that will wear that shirt.
Yeah, but he was also I hope so. It's like the opposite of the racist uncle, but he was more than. I mean, he wasn't just signs and. Slogans. He got arrested a bunch of times.
Hell yeah!
I hope for some cool stuff
for shoplifting.
Punching elderly people. That's what he got arrested for.
Yeah, no, it was. I come from a long line of actually people doing stuff. Like my grandfather, I never met. He got arrested for climbing up a pole outside the Austrian embassy after Hitler invaded. Anyway, at one point, doesn't matter. The punchline, if you will, is that he took down a swastika. And then my uncle, he was part of the Du Bois Club, which was basically the Young Communist Party. And he got arrested. And then now this is my last humble brag. My mom's boyfriend and friend, the family, was one of the first three guys to go to jail for not going to Vietnam, for not being conscientious objectors. And my uncle basically wrote his speech where he was saying he wasn't going to go to war. And I know that because I had that family friend of ours read that letter on camera. And he's like, he happens to have this weird 1940s accent. And he's like, I'm a Puerto Rican and I barely saw my mother. And he's like, what the hell? Who wrote this? I saw my mother all the time. And it was like my, and then he realized it was my uncle who took a lot of liberties. My uncle, yeah. Anyway, so. Well, what are you working on? Last time I saw you was in stolen land, known as Canada. Is that how I say it?
I think that's how they pronounce
it. The actual.
I think it's a harder C.
Okay, Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you working on? Everyone should follow you on Twitter. Also.
I appreciate that. What am I working on? One is just surviving. I think that's key right now. Prepping. I'm prepping a lot lately. I don't know. Like I actually can I curse on here?
Oh, yeah.
Are we allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Well, hot damn. Well, life slowed down in so many ways. Actually, all right, I'm gonna say this. I felt like life was crazy before the election, the first 2 weeks up to it, but I feel like it's gotten even more intense. My workload has increased since the election. And it's just like this mad rush of just frantic energy. I know what it is because, all right, I'm an organizer. I work for an environmental group. Yeah. And if you don't know, may not realize this, but Trump and his friends are going batshit crazy right now to try to get as much done before Biden takes office.
Yeah.
And so like, it's like full steam ahead, you know, they got their little miner's hats on and we're like, let's go. And they're like, just going full steam. And so it's, I feel like we're in the last segments of an epic hockey match where it's like sudden death. The first person scores wins.
Right.
And you have one side of like Trump and all his folks in oil and gas. And you have all these people who are like trying to protect the land and native folks. And they're like, fuck off, man. And they're just going at it. And the goal line is like Biden's office, like the when Biden gets into office. But the twisted part about it from our perspective is that that doesn't mean we win. Like, it's just another fucking dude, old white guy that we got to fight. Just it might be just a little bit easier, but still a fight.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? That is a, I mean, but Dallas, I think you maybe missed some of the people he's already named. Really good environmentalists like Cedric Richmond, who, you know, is known for being, you know, terrible when it comes to oil and gas. But if you say that, I'm going to have to push back and say, isn't that interesting because he's black? Did you see that? The guy at the New York Times literally did that. Sorry, we keep.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh,
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Ooh. So Sunrise. Did you see this, Leslie?
I might not have seen that particular one. I've seen others similar.
It's a woke washing technique. But basically, the Sunrise Movement had the audacity. And sorry, people who watch my show, because I talk about this a lot, even though it happened like a week ago. I've somehow managed to talk about it like 17 times, but it drives me crazy. So Sunrise Movement tweeted something critical of this, of Cedric Richmond, who's has some position and like public engagement, which interfaces with climate stuff. They said stuff that was negative because they don't like him because he's a bad record. And Jonathan Martin at the New York Times is like, from the beginning, picking a fight with the most influential black staffer. White guy, by the way, yeah. Jonathan Martin. So, yeah. So,
I mean, it's like, it's not too different than saying, hey, our foreign policy and war making is going to be a little bit better because you have women in charge.
Yeah, right.
Right. Like
Condi broke the glass, that glass ceiling. She shattered, you know, many Iraqi ceilings.
I am trying my best to be like, okay, let's just get through with one like shit fest and just work on the next. Let's not worry about the frosting on the next shit cake, you know? Let's just kind of get through what we have right now. Right. But I can't help it.
But we can also push. I mean, people can organize and make demands now, right? Because people are like, he's not even in office. And I was like, well, that would be a good time.
What gets me all the time. Like before, you know, in the primaries, let's just get through the primaries. Okay. And then it's the, you know, the actual election campaign. Yeah. Well, wait till after the election. And then now it's like, oh, wait until he gets in office. And when he gets in office, say, wait after the first 100 days, because you got to give him space. Like, no, why should we wait? When's the right time to actually put pressure?
Yeah.
Now at all points.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be after he steps down. That's when it's going to be. Someone posted a really funny image of like a timeline when it's okay to criticize. But what are you still like? So in this crazy world, are you still doing? How are you finding the comedic? I mean, I shouldn't say that because I'm like, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous because I sound like a real hypocrite because I obviously not to compare myself to you. But anyway, how are you? You're someone who's actually much more engaged in things like in the struggle and in organizing. So how do you, does that make it that much more necessary and therapeutic?
It is absolutely necessary. I'm actually doing a comedy show on Thanksgiving or Thanks-taking.
Yeah, Thanks-taking.
And I'm going to be doing it for a native community out in the Bay Area for like the Native American Health Center, which is provides healthcare for native folks in the SF Bay Area. And I'm excited and nervous as fuck for that. Cause it's like how it's on Thanksgiving. You're talking to a bunch of Indians. You're a native yourself. How are you? Like, it's so much for that. I'm excited for it. I'm nervous, but you know, it's so hard. Like I'm going to ask for some violins to be played for me right now, but it's like crazy to be an organizer, but at the same time, try to do comedy. Cause in some spaces I feel like I'm not allowed to be funny because you have to be serious all the damn time and you have to be hard all the damn time. And when you try to bring comedy into it, you are seeing you are being disrespectful, which I love. I love when it comes off very disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps me going in this time, is when I can bust a good joke when people are very, very into the zone of being serious.
Yeah. I mean, you have license, right? Because what you're doing, I mean, that should give you some. Obviously, some people always will have a stick up their ass or think things are inappropriate or problematic, but like.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got street cred. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Like, you know, that definitely comes into play. So I did a.
And you've been arrested and you've been doing all these, you know, you were at Standing Rock. You got arrested. Mm-hmm. You put your body on the line.
Yeah. Jill Stein beat me with a baton, but it was very consensual. Like, it went there. You know, I got street cred that way. So I was on this. I did an episode of Drunk History on the Comedy Central. It's a TV show. And that was like a year or two ago. And it was kind of funny because an acquaintance, he's an actor, he's in a bunch of different shows. His name's Zahn McLaren. He's like the native guy that you go to. He is like that one native guy that had all
the coming down his cheek.
Huh? Yes. He has a permanent tear that's always falling at all points. And he was like there's that one native in Westworld that got like the whole episode to himself. That was him. But he got asked to do it, and it was about Alcatraz. And Drunk History is like basically they retell the story, and someone's drunk and they're telling the story. And he was super nervous because he was like, oh shit, I don't want people to get mad at me. I don't want other natives to get mad at me because there's a stigma about drinking and there's a stigma about like a serious issue. And so he called me out of the blue and said, hey, should I do this? And I was like, fuck, do it, man. Like, it's like, this is storytelling, and we use comedy to tell stories. Just fucking do it. And he did it. And then he was like, you know what? He told the director, he's like, hey, I think you should get Dallas to do it too. So I got jumped in there as well. What was crazy about it is that there was backlash. Like, before the episode even came out, because people were so, they didn't know what it was. All they saw was Drunk History about the occupation of Alcatraz, where a bunch of native folks fucking occupied Alcatraz, took it over. Most people don't know it. Go check it out. Yeah. People were really upset before it even came out. And these were all our own native people. And I was like, had to take the heat. But at the same time, I recognized the heat was a little bit less because they knew who I was.
Mm. Yeah.
And the work that I did. So I recognized that privilege going in that space.
Right.
What are you looking at?
Why are you coming in here? I'm recording.
Oh, sorry. You have a sudden ass. Sorry. I'm the worst daughter ever. Thank you. All right, hold on. You're not even going to know what he did, my dad. He brought me a drink that I
is her dad a little person?
Thank you. He's not that small. I think it's just their perspective.
Okay. Well, I think she's her looking down. Just no disrespect. Looking down. Cool.
My dad loves books, so I thought he was going to pitter patter around the book. Sorry. What were you saying?
Nothing.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Your dad looks tiny because it looks like you're looking down at him.
I asked if he was a little person. Dad,
can you come here? What? Say hi. Can you say hi? You'll see him. I want you. You guys should say hi to him.
Yeah, get out of my room, Dad. I'm doing something.
He often has a mismatch. Dad, say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Leslie, who you met in real life? And this is Dallas Goldtooth, who is a water protector. I don't think we've met in real life
yet.
Okay.
You've probably seen him on Democracy Now.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
Great meeting, guys. So let her drink her water.
yeah, water. Okay, gotcha.
Thanks. Bye, Dad. Thank
you. See, that was a smooth dad move.
Crap. Did you say some shit? I took my headphones off. What'd you say?
That was a smooth dad move. Like, smooth dad move, just he covered for you. Water.
Yeah. That was good, right?
Yeah.
Your dad kind of has Mandy Patinkin vibes.
He kind of does, yeah. And also Mandy Patinkin, and also a lot of Einstein. But I'm sorry, Dallas, I cut you off when I was my dad. Oh, drunk. No, sorry. I was trying to show, not tell, because we're talking about Drunk History.
Oh. You planned it. Okay.
The whole thing, yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But I was going to say, like, it reminds me of when you were like, you can get away with it, but reminds me of the, The Office when Steve Carell's, what is it, Michael something, is really mad that he can't. You've seen the diversity episode, right? Like the, I think it's the first episode. He gets really mad. They have a diversity training. And one of the things he wants to bring up is why he can't recite this Chris Rock monologue.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that reminded me I was going to make some stupid joke about how, why can't I get away with those, that stuff?
Well, you know, that brings up to something I kind of got in trouble for. I'm kind of curious about your perspective, Dallas, because what you just mentioned kind of deals with this. Because I mentioned the fact that, you know, of all the things that Black people have shown that they do better than white people, one thing that white people have us beat us on, and your people too, Katie, definitely have us beat on, are sitcoms. Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb, I'll claim Curb.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think those three shows are much better than any Black sitcoms. And I think the reason why is because when you look at any, those shows allow the characters to be as depraved and horrible as possible. And I don't think, I don't think anybody making a Black, you know, sitcom wants to put that perspective out of Black people. And certainly, and I don't think any of the companies really do either. So they can't really get into the depths of like depraved, messed up comedy that my favorite sitcoms get into. Because when you look at something like Blackish, even though most of those characters are kind of bad people, they still spend about a third of the episode explaining Black history to you. So it gets close. And certainly something like The Cosby Show, where he was trying to do pro-Black propaganda basically by showing how great the family is, so they could never do a you know, Cosby would never want to do like a Black, you know, Curb
equivalent of Curb.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to do a lot of horrible other things, but not that.
If only he put his heart into that. And then what about okay, this is what is the preferred, like, if I'm talking about culture television, do I say, what's the adjective, Dallas?
That culture television?
Sorry, this is totally unfair.
Urban, of course.
No, for urban for, you know, urban is so terrible for rural Black people. It's such a terrible thing to say. It's it's a slur. I'm putting it as a slur, but no, native, indigenous, First Nation. I'm just gonna
for TV.
Yeah, for any, like I was gonna say, and what is the
I like native. That's my preference because it's short, right, straight to the point. Indigenous seems like super like formal, right?
It's
like when you introduce your first date to your parents, it's indigenous. But native is like the short version. Like that's right to the
point. So once they get, like once your date is like, once you're together, then you can use native. It's beyond formality. I see what you're saying. It has a certain, but native can also have an anthropological.
And then after that, it becomes Steve. So
Steve, right.
Indigenous, native, then you become Steve.
Steve, yeah. That's the trajectory.
Yeah. That's bedroom. That's the bedroom name, you know, Steve.
Bedroom name, yeah. Steve.
Actually, I was never thought about that, Leslie. Like that is pretty damn true. Like I'm thinking about even native writers and other folks of color who are writing in writers' rooms, and I'm with the comedy group 1491s, and most of the other guys are actually writing right now. There's two different TV shows that they're working on at this moment, and
that are not the 14 that are not really that are not 1491 projects.
Yeah, they're not 1491s like labeled, but they are like they're projects they're all in on. I was in the pilot episode for my bro Sterling Harjo, his show is going to be on FX.
Is he related to Harjo?
No, they're not. That's very racist, and thank you very much.
Is that a common name?
It's a super common name amongst Creek and Seminole peoples. It's like Smith.
Yeah.
But Sterling Harjo, he is actually working on a show called Reservation Dogs, and it's co-created with Taika Waititi, who's the Maori director who made Thor movie.
He's not just Maori, by the way. Do you know what else he is?
Oh, he's also Jewish.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's why he could make that movie about how funny Hitler is.
Oh my God, you're right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you imagine if he hadn't been Jewish and he brought that somewhere? Anyway,
people would have been looking at him like, what? Like, no, yeah. Seriously, it's funny. Yeah. It's gonna be funny. No, so I think that I look forward. I did a pilot episode for Reservation Dogs. I'm looking forward to where that goes, and it was really great. But I think, Leslie, you're right on. I think there's a hesitancy even amongst our own to be like, go to the depravity and that, like, to really air out the dirty laundry of sorts.
Yeah.
Because they're like, fuck, you know, they're gonna judge us by this. We're just playing into their hands. They're always the ambiguous they.
Yes.
I wonder how much this just popped into my head, but like with respectability politics, obviously, you know, economic questions are so related, and obviously there's slavery and colonialism, and then, you know, so there, it's not like these things all track on parallels, but there is something to like, I don't know. There's something to the, and I'm using my Jewish license here now to try to say something, but there's something to just, I guess, the, like, how do you say this without making it sound like Jews run the media? I don't even know if I can say it, honestly. So I'll probably have to pause that. But there's something to the, like, the, I don't know, the I'm trying to think of the stereotypes about Jews that would be communicated in, I don't know, like the funniest episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think we talked about this, Leslie, is like the Seder episode and the Orthodox Jew one. But it's,
which ones are those?
You're like, I thought that was Christmas. Would you look at that? No, did you watch Curb?
No, yeah, I do. I haven't watched all of them, but my favorite and the funniest one is when he was sleeping with a Palestinian girl.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yes, I think I prefer. Oh, by the way, Sam just wrote in the chat.
You gotta watch Atlanta.
You gotta watch Atlanta.
Atlanta is good. Yeah. Atlanta is very good, but like the problem is Donald Glover is just so damn creative. He doesn't just want to do comedy. He wants to do everything. So he doesn't just focus on making the sick. There's everything in that show. It's a really fantastic show, but it's not just it's not a pure sitcom. That's the only reason,
right?
I would knock it, and it's not even a knock. It's just trying to do something different,
right?
So I saw this I don't even know if the source is true, but I saw this random thing that it wasn't like someone posted like, hey, this is not anti-Semitic, but, which is always a warning sign when you hear that. And it was a native person. They're saying just like the numbers of Jewish people in the United States compared to the numbers of American Indians or Native Americans or Native people in the state is actually pretty damn comparable, I guess. Uh-huh. Like, but the representation of Jews on TV compared to the representation of natives on TV.
Oh yeah, of course.
Is crazy disproportionate. And
also behind the camera, like not just on the screens, right? But behind the writers and directors. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like a recognition of like, hey, like the point of what they were trying to make is not to say, hey, F those guys, but more like, look, there's inequities across the board here. And there's a reason like we really need to get more folks, native folks into the media, not just in front of the camera, but behind who are creators themselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think they were saying, wait, well, how does that go? Jews will not replace us. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I had to. I'm sorry.
That was good. So, that was good, Kate.
My Jewish license, that depravity license.
And see, that's why I maybe this is a little problematic for me to say, I'm actually glad that Jewish people are overrepresented in the media because you put out a lot of good stuff. You do a lot of good. You do good work. Yeah.
No,
you do
but
good work. I was actually about to say, like, I just realized a act of like whitewashing a native story. Well, not necessarily a native story, but about a native. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's based on a book, and if you actually read the book, the main character is not the Jack Nicholson character. The main character is the chief Brahmin. And like the whole theme of the book is about like indigenous people like being forced to live on reservations and that loss of humanity and dignity and masculinity and the main character dealing with that and seeing this, you know, white guy, Jack Nicholson character, who, you know, can walk, you know, proud, even though he's in, you know, what they call a loony bin back then, and him seeing that and actualizing himself and trying, and the first thing he wants to do is go back to, not to his ancestral land where they built like a dam. Like, there's all this, that's what the book is actually about. But when you get to the movie, they just change the main character for some reason, and no one knows, no one thinks about it.
Wow.
Absolutely. You know, my growing up, there's two films that I absolutely love because the way they represented Native people in it. And those two films, one of them is Die Hard 3, because Graham Greene, Native actor, plays one of the lieutenants that is part of the NYPD that helps find the bomb. The Native actor. I knew he's Native actor because I used to watch Native movies and he was in it. And I love that. And the other one is... the movie Heat.
Oh, that actor. I know you're talking about.
And Wes Studi is in the movie Heat. And he just plays a dude. Just a person.
Yeah.
But because growing up, we've seen him in all the other movies, like the Native movies. And I'm like, I knew who he was.
Graham
Greene plays one of the cops.
And who's the other actor you mentioned?
Wes Studi. Most folks will remember Wes Studi. He plays the bad Pawnee, the bad Indian in Dances with Wolves with the handprint over his face. That's Wes Studi.
Okay. How do you spell it?
W-E-S. Then Studi is S-T-U-D-I.
Got it.
And like those are like the most memorable moments for me sometimes because I'm like, hey, they were just playing regular old peoples.
Yeah.
They were just being people. I love those moments. I also thought for the longest time that Val Kilmer was Native, and I used to watch Willow and Mad Mardigan in Willow. I totally was like, that dude, that's Native. He's Native.
Well, it's just ironic because wasn't he in the Leonard Peltier movie?
Yeah, he was in Thunderheart, right? Yeah. He played the Washington Red. That's what they called him now. So, yeah. Magua and Mohicans. Yeah, I'm looking at the comments.
Oh God, I know it's very distracting. I sometimes have to zoom it out and then I just not sound like I can leave this, but it's true. I mean, so I met you at this conference in Canada, in Calgary. Was that what it was? It was the Res. Red Blood. It was a blood tribes.
Kainai.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the Kainai Res.
Cowboy
Smith
was there. It was really cool. And
I love the way the words that we're using make no sense to people. The blood tribe, Cowboy Smith was there. Actually,
we're repeating the spoken word that we performed. That's what we were invited to that conference to do. But I remember ask my friend what it was, but Gabor Mate spoke, and for people who don't know, Gabor Mate was born in Budapest during the Holocaust and was hidden by like Christian family. And he said that something you hear a lot, and I've heard this argument made, I don't think by anyone I know, I think I've just heard in passing, which is going to sound so sketchy, but like, well, why are Jews were, you know, they were killed, so many of them. How come they're okay? Usually you hear that compared with Black people, and that argument in the United States. Mm-hmm. But I think in Canada, it's more of a Native, right? That mm-hmm. argument is with Native people. And not like I was ever sold on that idea. Like, oh, yeah, good point, obviously, because there's like 1,000 reasons for why that's an absurd thing to say. But he said something that I hadn't thought of before, which was that... there's a difference between, you know, being kind of like killed off, a lot of people killed off, and then people fleeing, staying there or fleeing or moving, whatever, and being like colonized where you are. Mm-hmm. And how that is a totally different experience. And you can't compare those two things, and you can't, it's not like a controlled experiment where it's like two persecuted groups. One does relatively well financially. The other doesn't. Why? But,
Can we get some A/B testing going? I mean, humanity's ending anyway. We might as well settle these kind of questions. Like, if the fascism is coming, at least we can put it to use for science to see are there genetic differences? Yeah. Just put us through each other's trauma and see if we can really get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, it'll be such a beautiful.
We could have an actual oppression Olympics. Yes. Think about it.
Yeah. Oh God.
The actual Olympics.
Yeah.
Just find a stadium, put us all in there, you know, just have us just lay it all out there.
Yeah. These are the things we lost when Trump didn't get reelected, because we could have had it.
I saw there was a hashtag. There was some trending hashtag, the things Trump, good things Trump did or something. Like, it was ironic. It was an ironic hashtag where people are saying that we're thankful for things I'm thankful for Trump for. I'm gonna miss the fact that we didn't get to have the oppression Olympics.
Right. Yeah,
Too bad.
It's not too late. Just like they're trying to get all these drilling done.
Oh yeah.
Let's follow them. They're the trailblazers, literally.
Yeah, I was, you know, what you were saying actually resonates. I remember once this sounds so cliche, but when I was in college, I was in a poetry class, and I went to UC Berkeley out in the Bay Area. So just, you know, go figure, the job I ended up in, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Or the poetry.
But I remember like sitting there, and it was like all these folks of color who are my friends, who are all like just putting their shit out there, and they're talking about all the traumas they've been through. And it's like civil war here and genocide here and civil war here and all that. And I remember going home and writing, because that's what you do in poetry. And I remember the unique nature that hearing all those words of amazing poetry, talking about all the traumas that their communities are struggling with, and they as individuals are carrying as a part of that cycle, and realizing for me, if writing it down for like a lot of Native folks, that for what people sometimes externalize, like the trauma of what happened over there, but we're still experiencing it in a very personal sense. The Civil War was there, or they're bombing over here, or they're attacking over there, and I'm feeling that. But for a lot of Native folks, that attack is here.
Yeah.
That trauma happened here, and you're still processing what happened here as well as what's happening now.
Right. And you're still here.
Yeah. And you're still here. Right. And I was like, God damn it. I need a tea. I need to get out of this room and put this pen down, because it was too much for me. Too much.
Yeah.
But I think that honestly, I have a lot of faith in the direction that Native content, like Black comedy, like Native comedy, where it's all going. I think we're getting full. I want to get us to a place where we can start just showing the worth of us being afraid and tapping into the comedy of that. And I'm already expecting some of that, but I feel like we want to get to that point where we can start really just be self-deprecating and using that as comedy. Cause that's what I think, that's what inspires me as a comedian. That was the type of humor that really resonated with me, was this whole self-deprecation kind of approach. Yeah.
Well, speaking of self-deprecation, not to brag, but do you know, apparently there's a study, I should probably cite it because I mention it every now and then. Apparently, you know who the most self-deprecating people are.
Let me guess.
Ashkenazi Jews. Notice, not all Jews, not the Sephardic. They take themselves very seriously, but Ashkenazi Jews, yeah. You said what you said and what Gabor Mate was about 1,000 times more eloquent than what I said trying to paraphrase Gabor Mate. But yeah, I think that's something that I didn't think about. And I guess even you didn't think about it until you were comparing your situation with other people, like who were processing, right? Their trauma or oppression. But it really is. It's like a trappedness. I mean, there's something like kind of beautiful and resilient about it, because you're still here. Not you. Well, you are, Dallas, but I mean, people.
Thank you for that permission.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Oh yeah. For letting you stay. Yeah. Are you kidding? I wasn't even around then. But it's a very different thing. And I think also like since we're doing the oppression Olympics, you know, just the awareness of, the geographical separation also, is is somewhat unique. Like people will go their whole lives without meeting someone who's native, probably that they know of, honestly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are, but like, I mean, I don't know. I certainly never, you know, not everyone meets an Elizabeth Warren. Leslie, that was for you.
Yes.
A full, a truly indigenous woman of color.
A bold, strong woman of color.
Yeah.
Yes.
So brave.
Yeah. Big structural Bailey. Brave. Yeah. What was that like, by the way? what was that experience like?
What's that?
Like just watching Warren negotiate that and talk about.
It was so funny. It was so hilarious to me, to be absolutely honest. Like, it's like, ooh, I want to see these two white people talk about this. Like, this is really interesting what comes out. I know a lot of folks were upset about it. Like a lot of friends who are doing a lot of great work. Oh, I don't know. What are we talking about? What white people are we talking about?
I was talking about just Warren, tapping into her indigenous ancestry.
I was talking about Trump and her going back and forth I was talking about. I think it was such a bizarre scenario with the Elizabeth Warren and the Pocahontas stuff because
Pocahontas, right?
Yeah, like it was a tough place because for like a lot of Native folks who were like they're like, yeah, she's not like she doesn't have like legitimate claims. Like even the Cherokee Nation has said, like, you don't have legitimate claims. Right. Like why are you saying that? But at the same time, it's like, fuck you, dude. Like you're fucking a racist. Like, what do we do? Who do we go after?
Right.
Like that's what I found comedic about it. It's just like the tough situation where you couldn't defend either side.
Yeah. Like, is it racist to call someone wearing blackface the N-word is basically like the situation that was happening.
I think it's yes and. Yeah. Right, but how much can you put your heart into like condemning it, right? Without also wanting to be like, not that the blackface thing isn't problematic too. Yeah. But what about why do you think what do you think of Bernie Sanders? I'll just ask that question.
Oh, Uncle Bernie.
I'm a Bernie. Everyone's uncle, yeah.
Uncle Bernie.
Yo, Bernie, Uncle Bernie.
I don't know what to say. I like the dude. I don't know. I love Bernie. Yeah. I think, honestly, Bernie, back in 2016, right? That's when it was like the big thing, right? When Standing Rock was happening. Yeah. It was election time was going on. And of all the folks that were talking on a political level in that space, Bernie is the only one that like resonated with those of us who are fucking facing off with two cops, who are dealing with rubber bullets and tear gas and who are not only talking about the immediate fight against a fucking pipeline project, but who are also talking about this system of capitalism overall and just the innate exploitative nature of this system. Like that's why like everyone's like, yeah, like fuck, we're on board with this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's gone away. I think that admiration and I think that I'll say for me, it's not just like, hey, that's the white savior. It's just like the points that he has made time after time resonate so strongly with me that I agree with that. And I'm like, I appreciate that guy. That man for what he's brought to this space, as well as fucking countless others who continuously try to fight the system and try to work towards something different. So I am definitely on board and a Bernie. I actually got asked. So I was being vetted to be, a surrogate?
Surrogate, yeah.
Yeah. So like someone asked me, like someone from their native team, he's like, would you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Fuck. I'll do it. I'll go out there and I'll speak the good word.
Yeah.
And they started vetting me the week he dropped out. damn it. That's the crazy part. I'm not a really political person. I wasn't. I've gotten more engaged in it. But like I didn't vote for Obama. So I went to see a movie on election day. Like that's how bad. Like I just was not engaged. Yeah. There's nothing that pulled me into it until that 2016 election, all the shit that was going on in Standing Rock, but also just hearing the words that he was saying. So I was like, yeah, I'll be a surrogate. I'll try that out. Yeah. I'll do it.
Oh man,
I'll carry his baby. I'll surrogate for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And anything else? I know that you don't have. I think you've been super. I mean, I know you've been super generous. I was going to say, I think you are coming up on your deadline for having to go back to your family. But I want to make sure, you know, this has been a kind of open-ended convo. So anything that you want to make sure that we hit? Liberal tier, Karen's tears. You mentioned something about that. Karen's tears. Yeah.
I talked to my elders and they all advised against me saying, like, publicly saying this. I just feel so compelled to share a truth with all our, I think people in this country, we're at a place now where we can start just sharing about our culture, the secrets of Native American peoples, you know, the monolith that is Indians. And tomorrow is a pretty important day for some people. Tomorrow in the United States, or the so-called United States of America, there's a lot of celebration that will be happening within the monolith that is the American Indian culture. And one major part of that, that I have to like truth tell about it, is that millions and millions of Native American people will be washing their bodies in the tears of white people. And we just want to say thank you for all the tears you've shed in such a brave way, and that we are, will wash ourselves in those. And I just wanted to share that. So that's some truth. Don't tell anybody. Do not tell anybody, because that's a ceremony unto itself.
That we don't even know about. We didn't know.
See, we're still alive, resilient. And my kids, they're already asleep. They put themselves asleep. Okay. There's a kid on the stairwell already asleep, you know, so they're okay.
You almost tripped over him. Yeah. And what's your, the character's name? The good way character.
The good way. Which character? Oh, the Powell MC.
Yeah. Can you tell us, can you just give us a message from him?
Yeah. That's I would love to say that, this is like a more serious note, but it's just like, what I am excited for is just, right now we're going into this crazy time with, you know, transitioning to Biden, but I'm really fucking excited for all the people that have been politicized and who are not disillusioned, who are like, really like, if shit doesn't go our way, if it's not going in a direction, we're still going to raise a ruckus.
Right.
There's still going to be fires, and they're not, you know, that's what folks are committed to, because I think that there has been a spark going. So I am really excited for that, to keep the feet beneath the flame of sorts, to really push for systemic change in this country. And I love to see the arts. I love to see comedy, and I love to see just all forms of art really pick up on that, continue to push that. And in general, I think there's so much uncertainty in the world that I have to have complete faith in our ability to continue to cause a ruckus.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And my character, so for folks that don't know, I do this. We started off this comedy group I started, where I co-founded, called the 1491s. Most of the guys are doing writing, like I mentioned, they're on Hollywood doing their thing, making money, and I'm over here raising kids. Not a humble brag. I'm raising my kids in a good way, unlike those guys. I'm doing my job as a dad. But we started making videos, and honestly, the source of our comedy is ourselves as Indian men. Like, we just talk shit about Indian men and like Native men. Like, we just, because we're so dysfunctional, that's fucking hilarious at times. And the Power MC is the... Yeah, the Power MC is a quintessential Native man who is always like taking up so much space. And it's like that every community gathering, he's the one guy you don't want to get the microphone, because you know you're going to be there for 4 days listening to his exploits. You know, he's the guy that goes, all right, before I say anything, let me say a few words. You know, it starts off the sentence like that. You know you're in hardship.
Yes.
And I don't know if that guy exists in other communities, but he's pretty damn strong.
Oh, we have them. They're usually bishops in church. They're usually bishops in church.
Ours are medicine men. Hey.
Yeah.
People, there you go. So like, yeah, the, Paulo MC, he talks like this in very good way. I want to send good words and good prayers and good thoughts out there to all the little ones out there that made me the man I am. You're welcome, you know? And, you know, I've made many people cry with the sound of my voice. And I want to say you're welcome for giving you that gift. And, oh, yeah, that's the character. And I always wondered, growing up, like, every powwow, every social gathering, there's always that guy that has that MC voice. That makes weird noises. And I wonder, does he sound like that in the bedroom? You know, that guy. Look at that. It's also the same guy that does like that MCs the rodeos. So I wonder if he talks the same way.
Okay.
But thank you so much for having me on. I'm so happy I was able to join.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah.
And you.
Yeah. And make sure you tell us if there's anything that we need to do you want Whitey to do on Thanksgiving. Besides cry.
Make give sure the you... land back.
Oh,
give
that's
the
good.
Land back.
Keep your tears. Give the land back. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good, Katie.
Yeah.
Start collecting the tears, though, because we will use those as celebration. Thank you. Everyone can follow me. I'm on all the socials under Dallas Goldtooth. And you can follow the work I do at the Indigenous Environmental Network. We're going to be unveiling some fucking action soon and doing some really strong push on Biden to do the right fucking thing. And I think actually what you could, if you want to educate yourself, is there's an acronym that most Native people know because it just dictates our life. It's a big part of the fight. It's called FPIC, FPIC, FPIC. It stands for Free, Prior, and Informed Consent. And that is the struggle where we're at, is that we demand that if there's any project that affects our folks, any national project that requires federal approval, that you have to obtain the consent of the people who it's going to affect. I mean, that's a basic human right. And the United States government needs to step up and do the right thing and recognize free, prior, and informed consent from Indigenous peoples. So check it out. FPIC, FPIC. We'll be doing some work to let people be more aware of it. And we're going to be going after Joe to get him to do something about it too. Yeah, so,
and Dallas, I just want to ask you one quick question before you go. From the Black community, now, when you get
the Black community,
the Black community, when you get all the land back, can we stay?
Oh hell yeah, bro!
Oh cool.
Shit yeah, right. Man. Land back for us, for all of us. Reparations across the board.
Awesome.
We killed so many of us. We got room. So. Yeah, right. We got this.
And one question from, I want to make sure, Dallas and Jackie.
Kali'a'a.
Kali'a'a will be performing live Thanksgiving for Comedy Night. When is it, Dallas? How do people sign up?
Dang. Who's this person coming out of the woodwork?
This person is Stephanie Welch.
Well, thank you, Stephanie Welch, for that plug. That's tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was a closed group. I didn't know it was public. Check it. All right. How about this? Go to my Facebook. Follow me on Facebook, Dallas Goldtooth, or on Twitter, and I will post about it so you can watch a comedy show if it's public.
And if not, you can just post and be like, hi, guys, sorry. It's, you know.
Yeah, F off. Sorry.
Yeah,
F off. It's my day. I could say that.
Yeah. Totes. Well, yeah, thank you. And I will put the links to your stuff, to your projects. And, let us know what actions you need people to be working on.
Absolutely. Will do.
You know, thank you both. Leslie and I don't think there's anyone in the world who enjoys dragging Biden more than me or Leslie. So we're there for the fight. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Dallas. Bye. That was great. Very funny. Love that character.
Very funny.
In a good way.
Good guess.
Thank you.
Good guess for me as co-host, Kate.
I know. Perfect, right? Make sure you follow Dallas at Dallas Goldtooth on Twitter. Also go to the website of his organization, IENTH. EARTH.org. Don't forget to become Patreon supporters so you can hear and or see my analysis with Leslie Lee, where we go over a woman who accuses me of making her cry at a baby shower, and also some claims that I'm a Russian infiltrator. And also, Rania Kallik and I read some hate tweets that were written about us by someone who, it turns out, works for Scooter Libby. Good to know. Patreon.com/TheKatieHalper Show. Again, that's Patreon.com/TheKatieHalper Show. Thank you so much for listening to The Katie Halper Show. See you next time. The Katie Halper Show is edited by Ted Reedy and or Dorsey Shaw. Our theme song is by the band Cordova.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.